What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for being a listener of the Elective Rotation, a critical care and hospital pharmacy podcast. This is episode number 1083. In this episode, I'll discuss best practices in airway management in critically ill adults. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode1083. And now, on to the episode. Pharmacists who work in critical care areas have tremendous opportunities to help the care team and patient whenever tracheal intubation takes place, from preventing awareness with paralysis to managing post-intubation cardiovascular complications, as has been discussed in numerous episodes of this podcast from number 15 all the way to 1059. A recent article published in the journal Intensive Care Medicine discusses the best practices in airway management in critical ill adults. Among these best practices are several regarding medications. First, when it comes to the choice of sedation for induction so the patient could tolerate intubation, the authors review the in-tube study, which in a post-hoc analysis showed that the use of propofol for induction was the only modifiable independent predictor of cardiovascular collapse in patients undergoing intubation. Therefore, the recommended best practice is to use medications with a more stable hemodynamic profile, such as ketamine and etomidate. Pharmacists who practice in institutions where propofol is a common induction agent would do well to have discussions with providers about sedative choice well before the need for intubation arises, and ideally on a committee or department meeting level, so that agreement on when to use alternative sedatives can be made without the acute stress of a decompensating patient needing urgent intubation. Second, the authors emphasize that using neuromuscular blockade during intubation is associated with a greater first-pass intubation success and fewer complications. The authors discuss evidence suggesting that there's no clinically meaningful difference between succinylcholine and rocuronium for tracheal intubation in critically ill patients. They highlight how, when using rocuronium, higher doses of at least 1.2 milligrams per kilo are required to produce faster time to optimal intubating conditions. The authors also acknowledge that while sucaminex may have a narrow role in reversing paralysis in a cannot intubate, cannot ventilate situation, it will not reverse the need for intubation. When it comes to hemodynamic optimization before the procedure, the authors were not able to identify a best practice based on available literature with conflicting results on preemptive fluid boluses and no completed trials about preemptive vasopressor use. And finally, when discussing respiratory optimization, the authors note that in agitated patients, a subesthetic dose of ketamine may be used to facilitate pre-oxygenation. This is the practice otherwise known as delayed sequence intubation. Many clinicians have supported this technique for use in select agitated patients who cannot comply with standard pre-oxygenation, most notably Scott Weingart of mcrit.org. I've discussed evidence that supports this technique most recently in episode 816. These best practices are in line with recommendations from other expert societies, including the Society of Critical Care Medicine guidelines, which I discussed back in episode 1059, that also recommended delayed sequence intubation and routinely using a neuromuscular blocking agent. The article in this episode is a selection from my Hospital Pharmacy Academy's weekly literature digest. Every week, Academy members are provided a summary curated and explained by me of the top hospital pharmacy-related articles published that week from over 20 major journals and sources to save you time and keep you up to date with the literature. To get immediate access, go to pharmacyjoe.com/academy. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.